And welcome into another edition of the Swarmcast. David Eichholt here for HawkeyeInsider.com, part of the 24/7 Sports Network. Really special guest day. We're going to have Nate Stanley, quarterback coach, Tony Rasiopi, join Sean Bock for an exclusive interview about how Nate's training's going, what Tony does, and what NFL teams are saying about Nate. About a 27-minute listen, really good stuff from him. And we're going to have a full episode again tomorrow. I'll give my full thoughts surrounding Luka Garza declaring for the NBA draft, kind of what that means for Iowa going forward. What are Luka's chances of getting drafted? And we're also going to dive into some potential breakout players for the 2020 football season and also talk a little bit about Gary Barta's press conference when he met with reporters on Thursday via Zoom. But let's dive right into this interview. As always, be sure to check us out at HawkeyeInsider.com. We're on Twitter at Hawkeyes on 247. You can follow me at David Eichholt, DavidEichholt. Anyways, let's get right to Tony Rasiopi and Sean Bock.
All right, so now we welcome on Tony Rasiopi, a quarterback coach or whisperer out of the Northeast, who is currently training former Iowa quarterback Nate Stanley leading up to the 2020 NFL draft. Tony, how are we doing today, my man?
Everything's great. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate you having on or coming on. So, what exactly is your title? Like, what other quarter or what do you do exactly? Kind of give the people an introduction of yourself.
You know, so I mean, I train quarterbacks. So I teach phys ed in a high school here in New Jersey, Franklin High School, which I've taught public school phys ed for 16 years. I coach at the Hunt School in Princeton, which is a prep school, one of the top probably 50 high schools in the country from a football standpoint as well as academically. So, it's a great place to coach. Obviously, high school, you're coaching some big-time kids. We've had 48 Division I kids in 7 years. So, just to show you, we're really talented. So, I do that in the fall as well as the summer. And then when my season's over, I kind of dive into, training guys like Nate Stanley for the draft. You know, I've had had a bunch of guys the last couple years, and I've been doing it for 7 years now, as well as training, high school kids. And I train the majority of Division I quarterbacks that come out in New Jersey from, starting when they were in high school to obviously now that they're in college and they're playing. So usually how that works is those guys will come back kind of in the winter after, their seasons are over or after bowl games. And, for whatever how long their break's going to be, try to get them in a couple times and, just work fundamentals, So, the NFL draft stuff's, I really love it because you get a guy like Nate Stanley who's really talented. And again, Nate was part of a class of five that I had this year. All five guys have realistic shots at getting to camp, and I probably have three guys like Nate have a shot getting drafted. So, it's nice to get these guys in and get my hands on them for, sometimes 4 weeks, 6 weeks to 8 weeks and really dive into, back to the fundamentals of the game, back to teaching, pro style footwork under center and as well as shotgun and teach them the the basics and really it's the first time in their career where, a guy like Nate was worried about getting himself ready for Iowa every year, running their plays and doing it their way. Whereas, now it's kind of a blank, NFL, let's get down to fundamentals. Let's get down to taking three steps and five steps and seven steps and play actions and, working, base concepts like, hank and drive and flood and stale and all those kind of things that everybody runs in the NFL, just out of different, personnel groupings and formations.
So let's jump kind of right into it. How long have you known Nate for?
So I got to know Nate last year. So I work at the Manning camp every year. And at the Manning camp, they invite roughly the best 35 to 40 college quarterbacks to come in to, they'll work the camp and it's a high school camp. It's like, grades 7 through in high school, so there's about 1,300 kids there. There's about 1,000 quarterbacks. So they'll invite those college guys. Those college guys will coach the kids just like I do, as well as the college kids will train probably, I think, four times they throw, with Eli and Peyton and, a couple offensive coordinators from the NFL will come in. Sometimes, just because their kids are there, it'll kind of pop in. We've had Sean Payton. We've had Mike McCarthy. Last year we had Brian Schottenheimer. So, the college kids will throw about four times. I'm actually one of the four coaches that are asked to work with guys with those guys. So, I'm actually with Peyton, which is an amazing experience by itself. So, I got to know Nate last year, through either coaching him, through those four times. And just, you spend so much time in the downtime outside of the camp, you know, whether it's, you know, grabbing lunch or we go grab dinner every night at a, you know, nice house that has us over and you know, has meals, has, you know, whatever. So you kind of just, you're spending time getting to know each other. So it's a really nice way to meet the kids, and the kids get to meet guys like me. And then, you know, we kind of forge relationships there and kind of stay in touch throughout their season. I don't bother them at all as far as, you know, like training and, you know, trying to find an answer if they're going to train with me. I don't do that at all. I want them to have a great senior year or junior year, whatever year they're going to have, you know, and just kind of be there from a support standpoint and kind of just talk. And then, you know, we kind of just, at the end of the season, right before their bowl game, we kind of just shore this thing up that this is what we're going to do once he's done. And, you know, that's it. I let him kind of do his thing, which I, you know, I think is the right way to do things. Not just for Nate, but for Iowa and their staff. And, you know, once he finished up, we got him out here right away.
So before you start working him or started working with Nate and before you saw him at the Manning camp, did you know much about him, or did you have any kind of really just previous experience with him, or like just watching him on TV?
Just pretty much watching him. I mean, obviously, you know, being in New Jersey, I mean, I'm 15 minutes from Rutgers, and I've trained their last six quarterbacks they've had there. So, you know, just, you know, I've always been a Big Ten person just because of our area. And, because I've always followed him, I followed his career. You know, I didn't really dive into, you know, mechanics with him or critique him at any time. You know, I just kind of watched as a fan like you guys do, you know. So, that, you know, that was really my only prior knowledge of him, you know. So, I mean, obviously knew he was a great player and you know, obviously a program like Iowa's, which is one of the best in the country and has been for a long time. I mean, if you're a three-year starter there and you're a, you know, and more importantly, a three-year captain, I mean, that says a lot about you as a person.
For sure. So how did it come? I mean, I know you worked with him at Manning. So did he approach you and say, hey, I want to work with you to leading up to the NFL draft? Or how did that kind of whole dynamic work?
I just asked him, you know, what his plans are, and he really didn't have any plans. He was going to actually stay at Iowa and take classes. So he wasn't going to be able to train at a facility full time. Like, you know, again, I had my five guys. I had three guys here for 8 straight weeks, you know, so that's kind of the interesting dynamic of the NFL draft stuff is that, you know, some guys like Nate want to finish up their degree, which, you know, I totally get and I totally understand. You know, so sometimes they'll come out during their break over the winter, then they shoot back and they do classes. And then, you know, he'd pop back out 3 or 4 times, you know, when he could. So if he had classes Monday through Thursday, he'd fly out, you know, Thursday after class and then, you know, get here Thursday night. We'll do some classroom and then bang out a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Kind of fly back Monday if he can, you know, kind of thing. So even if it's a 3-day hit, you know, it's three days of you know, getting work in. So, you know, so it was more kind of me just asking what he wanted to do. And you know, he kind of explained it. And I just said, here's a scenario. What do you think about doing this? And, you know, he was all about it, which was great. So it was an easy transition. It was an easy conversation to have.
So what were some of the first things you wanted to work on with him? Or what were some of the things that he really wanted to address? Because I'm sure you got to look at his film a little more when he decided to come work with you.
You know, I do this with all quarterbacks. There's four things that I can see kind of right away with a guy. And I should say four things that I can kind of fix on a guy or make them better. I shouldn't say fix, but make them better depending on who they are. The first thing is just how they throw, you know, like how their sequence works, are the, you know, from base to release of the football. You know, I look for kind of four things, whether it's, you know, starting balance, you know, stepping and getting that separation of their hips, you know, where their foot lands, their front foot and their shoulder ends up going, and where their hips are, where their balance is. And then when they rotate, how do they rotate, you know, not, you know, using their back hip first and not their front shoulder, leading to dropping your elbow. And then how they finish, you know, like, do they finish balance? Do they finish, you know, rotational? Are they upright? Or are they kind of finishing over their front leg? Like a lot of times, like, you know, Nate did. You know, a lot of times you see, you know, quarterbacks are baseball pitchers, right? Just because, you know, they have strong arms. So, you know, you see a lot of times guys will kind of finish down and bending at the waist. So they're losing power at their hips and they're losing accuracy because their back foot comes off the ground. So, you know, right away from a throwing sequence standpoint, I can make that better. The second thing is how they get balance at the top of their drop. You know, a lot of times they'll use their back foot and their, you know, that means all their weight's on their back leg. And if their weight's on their back leg, usually they're going to push off too much and finish over their front leg, like, again, like a baseball pitcher, and miss down a lot, or push off their back leg and overstride, which is probably the most common mistake quarterbacks make is overstriding, right, and sailing the football over targets. You know, so we want to use our last crossover instead of our back foot, our plant foot. And we want to set our angles with that last crossover too. So a lot of times guys will wait to their back foot, land on their back foot, and kind of swing the throws all over the field, you know, which again just kind of screws us up from a fundamental standpoint throwing the ball. So, you know, those are the first two things. You know, the third thing is how they throw to their non-dominant side. So if I'm a righty throwing to the left side of the field, right, how their footwork gets them to make straight bounce throws as opposed to, you know, swinging or you know, bucket step swinging, which, you know, leads to usually the ball being, you know, low and behind or low and inside, which again, if you're throwing an out route to the left, that's not good, right? If you're playing somebody good, usually you're going to make a tackle, you know, again, if you're low and inside. So, and the last thing is how do they hitch? How do they get bounced when they take a reset, when they throw curls and digs and, you know, like second level kind of throws, you know? So, you know, those four things, usually I can find kind of where a guy is at. Usually I see a big jump in the guys I train because a lot of times those guys aren't taught. Either they weren't taught the right things or they just, you know.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
They kind of just did them a, kind of a different way, and I feel like I have a really good system of showing guys how to improve. So, you know, he was a guy that, you know, was a baseball pitcher, so he loaded a lot on his back leg with his weight, and then he kind of finished over his front leg and picked his back foot right off the ground too much, you know, one. So a lot of times if you see him miss low, that's what he was doing. And then the second thing is when he was taking his hitches or resets, you know, you see this a lot of times with guys and big guys like Nate, you know, they'll push up in the pocket and their back foot lands too far into their body, which makes them overstride with their front foot. A lot of times, you know, like he would sail the ball at times in those second level throws, you know, so those, you know, that 12 to 18 yard, you know, window. So that's like your digs and your curls and your crossing routes, you know. So a lot of times, you know, he would sail the ball at times. That's what he was doing, you know. So, you know, I would say within 3 days, you know, it was pretty apparent, you know, when he was right. I mean, it's, you know, top end, top three round good, you know, and that was kind of my thing to him. It was, listen, Nate, when you're good as almost anybody else is good in this draft, you know, like you could throw with anybody in this draft, you know, what you're bad is we just got to clean things up. And I think, you know, with some guys, you know, their ceiling is not as high as Nate Stanley's, you know, like a lot of guys, you know, they're bad. They can only fix so much where I think, you know, if you look at the negative things about him, and he knew him, you know, he knew exactly what he wanted to work on, which was, you know, great for me because he already kind of came in with an idea of what he wanted to fix, and he was really open to coaching, you know. So, you know, sometimes you get guys that were 3-4 year starters at big time programs. They're very, I wouldn't say hesitant to coaching, but it's kind of like, okay, I've been really good for, you know, I was an awesome high school player, right? And I was an awesome college player for the most part. Like you're going to fix all these things on me. It's almost like a panic sets in, you know? So, you know, I didn't have to change a million things on it. It just was, I said those four things, you can kind of tweak a thing here and there. And he was so receptive to coaching. I mean, he was awesome. I mean, he was locked in. He was focused. It was something he knew he needed to really fix and clean up. And I think he got that from a NFL scouts. And I think he got that from the Iowa coaches. It's just, you know, listen, you need to dive in and really improve on these things. And I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think within a week, you know, I think he picked up a lot of things. I don't know if it was muscle memory yet, but I think he saw when it was right, like, wow, it's just so much better.
How appealing is that to not only you as a trainer, but just an NFL staff in general, seeing a guy like, I mean, we talk about with football all the time, how guys have high ceilings and how there's so much more they can work on, but adding a coachable kind of aspect to it, how appealing is that to them?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, you know, especially nowadays, I mean, you know, and I see it just because, you know, yeah, you have kids who have gone to guys like me since they were, you know, again, I have some kids that are in like seventh grade right now that come to me, you know, once or twice a week. And they're, I mean, you see, as seventh grade, I mean, I didn't learn this stuff until I probably got to college, you know, and these kids are so ahead of the curve when it comes to fundamentals and knowledge and, you know, all those things. But at the same time, it, you know, they've heard so many voices sometimes by the time they got to Nate, right? So you're talking, you know, high school coaches, you're talking maybe a trainer they had in high school, and then they got to college, and then, you know, maybe they had a couple quarterback coaches in college as well as maybe saw another guy like me, you know. So, you know, by the time they get to, you know, the NFL side of things, they've had, like, I don't know, what, 5, 7, 10 voices in their head of different ways of kind of doing things. So, you know, because of that, I think, you know, you see guys confused, number one. And number two, sometimes they think they know more than they really do. And he was the opposite. I mean, he's awesome. You know, he's a guy, like, if his name was called in the first round, I would not be surprised, you know, and it should be, you know. So, you know, I mean, if you're a pro-style coach, and there's a lot of them obviously out there in the NFL, you know, what more do you want from a guy? You know, he's smart, he's tough, he's a leader. He's, you know, again, Iowa did a great job preparing him. You know, he knows the game inside and out. He knows fronts. He knows protections. He knows why to change plays into a certain front, whether it's a run to a run, right? So if it's a run game play to the right, and he has a certain look, whether it's a certain front or safety, you know, a safety rotation early on, the cadence, he knows how to flip it to the other side and why, which is more important, you know? So, or, you know, a certain run to a certain front where it's not going to make sense. It's an 8-man front, how to check out of it, get to a pass play and protect himself and understand what protections are good against certain fronts and when are not, you know, when to be hot and when to throw a sight adjust. And I mean, he understands all those things, you know. It's not something I kind of had to teach him, which, you know, sometimes I do, because, you know, I'll get a guy that's maybe been a spread guy his entire life and not understand, you know, basic stuff, right? Basic fronts, basic coverages, and not really understanding how to be, you know, an 11 personnel or 12 personnel and be under center with two tight ends and understanding all those different things that can happen under centers we're calling our cadence, you know. So he has all those things, you know. And again, I just watch the way he drops and throws the football. He's an athletic kid for how big he is. People understand that. I mean, he dropped 26 pounds from the time he obviously started training with us here at Tess, and obviously Iowa strength staff's arguably the best in the country, you know. So between our guys and their guys, he dropped 26, 27 pounds. I mean, his body fat dropped, I don't know, 10%. I mean, you know, by the time he was at the combine, I mean, he had abs. Like, he was shredded, which was pretty neat to see. You know, that he played at probably 248, 250, I'm guessing, probably by, you know, the end of the season. You know, again, he wasn't out of shape. He just was a big, strong, thick kid. And he turned himself into, you know, a better athlete. You know, and again, I think that's what the NFL scouts and the NFL coaches are looking for. Are you going to work on yourself? Are you going to make yourself better? And I think that's what he did. I mean, you know, a lot of guys kind of stayed the same or maybe even gotten worse because, you know, they kind of went through the motions through this process. And Nate Stanley did not do that. Nate Stanley looked at his two weaknesses per se, which was accuracy one, and two, just trying to make himself a better athlete, because, you know, at the end of the day, you got to be able to move in nowadays' game. You can't be back there at 7 yards deep or 9 yards deep in the pocket and be a statue, right? You got to be able to move and get out of stuff, and everybody can run. You know, all 11 guys in defense can move, you know, so he made himself better. That's it, you know, bottom line.
Yeah, though he's not Mike Vick in the backfield or under center, I mean, just the way that he moved at 248 pounds – during Iowa, I mean, you saw it with some of the sacks he was able to escape, and absolutely, they called the Stanley scramble. I mean, going those QB sneaks, kind of showing the strength.
Right.
With him, I mean, I know he's not going to be like a super dual threat quarterback at the next level, but how important is that, just to be able to be athletic and just be able to move?
I think it's huge. I think, you know, nowadays, I mean, watch games, right? I mean, how many pure pocket passers do you see left over? And the guys that are the pure pocket passers, you know, the Bradys of the world, the Matt Ryans, the Drew Breeses, the, you know, again, I'm going to probably miss a couple guys out there, but, like, you know, you watch guys, I mean, those guys have done a better job working their fundamentals and working movement within their drops, you know. I mean, you watch Drew Brees, I mean, just because he's so short, a lot of times you'll see him drop really deep in the pocket and just kind of move up and over and around. And, you know, you're going to have to do it nowadays. It's just the way the game has changed, you know. So, and Nate knows that. So, you know, we worked a lot of pocket moving stuff with a lot of stuff where he had to move his feet and, you know, be in position to throw, but then again, having to move real quick, get back into position to throw really quick and, you know, make an accurate throw to that guy.
What's been Nate's mindset throughout this whole process? I mean, he's a pretty laid-back guy, so you can't really get much out of him in terms of answers when you're talking to him with media. But just working with you, what's kind of been his kind of confidence level or just his mindset in general as he goes through this process?
I just think he's steady. I mean, he is who he is. I mean, he's confident in himself. It's a quiet confidence, which I love. It was kind of just, meticulous. It was, let's show up. This is what I want to work on today. We go through a whole throwing sequence that I have. I probably have, 15 to 20 drills on stuff that we're trying to get stuff done. And I would tell him the coaching points of things, and he would lock in on those coaching points on whatever drill it was. And if it wasn't right, we would keep doing it. If it was, we'd move on to the next thing. So, he was great. What we did when he went back to Iowa was that I show guys, listen, this is where I stand in a drill, and this is what I'm looking for, right? Whether it's where your feet are aligned, what your shoulder and your front foot's doing, when I'm standing behind or to the side, if it's where my weight is, where my balance is. So I show them where I stand and why. And then what I have them do is when they go back, so what he did was he would go back and he would throw at Iowa with his guys, and he would have somebody videotape where I would stand, for certain drills. And then what he would do is he would send me those videos. And, again, I it's not like I was there, but I was, it's the closest thing we could do virtually. So he would send me those videos, and then we would go through them, and I would kind of, screenshot the goods and the bads and then explain the bads. And he knew right away what it was, whether it was he felt it or yeah, that's why the ball went that way or whatever we were kind of working on that day, we kind of did that while he was at Iowa. And then obviously, he came back when he could around his course schedule.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So I'm sure you've talked to NFL teams kind of about Nate, but what have some of the personnel or scouts kind of said about him and how he'd fit in their system or just any system in general?
I think they're huge fans of his. I think that I think there's a lot there, right? I think there's 3 years of playing big time football in the Big Ten against elite players. I mean, the kid beat Ohio State. He played with a lot of top end draft picks, especially tight end position. He was asked to throw the ball a lot of times. He was asked to not throw the ball a lot of times and take care of the football. And you look at this year's team. It was built around the run game, and obviously once they got into the red zone, they were so good up front that they just kind of pounded people. And, so there's a reason why, he didn't have 47 touchdowns or 40 touchdowns like a lot of the spread guys do. It's not the system they play in. That's okay. So I think there's a huge body of work by him. I think he's a guy that if you sit down and talk to, that you fall in love with, it's easy to see why people are high on him. Because again, if you're looking at it as a scout, what's the negative on the kid? How many boxes can we, and I tell the quarterbacks all the time that I train, how many boxes can you check, right? So if you look at all the skill sets a quarterback can possess, how many boxes do you check as far as, arm strength, accuracy, footwork, movement, knowledge of the game, toughness, size, and I'm talking from an NFL scouting perspective, right? So, if you look at from their perspective, I mean, the kid checks almost every box you could possibly want, and the ones that he didn't, or ones that maybe were iffy as far as what people thought at times, whether it was an accuracy thing or whether it was a, like you said, he's not Michael Vick back there. The kid worked on it. And I think that's what they look for.
So how do you personally think he fits? In the NFL?
Listen, at the end of the day, there's no doubt in my mind that he can be an NFL starting quarterback and start for a long time. He has to, and people don't know this, but, you know, like, he has the mental makeup to do it. And I think that's, you know, half of it is having the physical traits, right? Obviously having the arm to do it and the accuracy and decision-making and processing skills and the size to take the hits. But at the same time, it's also a mental thing too. It's a grind. It's tough, and he's wired that way. I mean, he kind of played in that already, right? If you look at his career at Iowa, I mean, he stood in the pocket and took some big time shots against some big time opponents and popped back up and got back in the huddle and called the next play. So, you know, he's had some great games at Iowa, and he had some games that, you know, weren't the best. But at the same time, he was the same guy every single day. And I think they look for a consistent guy, and that's who he is. You know, that's who he is as a person, and that's who he is as a quarterback. You know, so there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, if he was a starting quarterback in 3 years from now, I would not be surprised in the NFL and have a great career.
Last question before I let you go, Tony. I know a lot of people, especially coaches and guys that have worked with so many players, don't like the comparison game, but who are some NFL QBs that you kind of look at? I mean, I know, or you kind of look at and you're like, okay, like Nate, that kind of, or like, that's kind of like Nate. I mean, I know Ben Roethlisberger is a popular one among just kind of like at a first glance, a bigger body, but who are some other guys that you kind of see like that?
You know, I think people say Big Ben just because of, like you said, the size, you know, and how he's able to kind of sit in there and you know, these big linebackers kind of blitz him, and they kind of bounce off him because he's so strong, and he's such a tough kid in the pocket. You know, it's hard to make comparisons. You know, I mean, I think that I think he's kind of morphing his game. And again, like I said, he's down 26, 27 pounds. And, you know, he sent me videos 2 days ago of him throwing that we kind of went through and critique. I mean, he looks awesome. He's probably 230. You know, right now, you know, 228, something like that. And again, like I said, I think he played it like 250 at Iowa. So, you know, I think that, you know, his game's always evolving. And if you look at the best guys, their game's evolved, right? That's why you see the Tom Brady's and Drew Brees of the world go to, you know, guys like me. You know, they're always trying to look for maybe not overhaul everything they've done, but, you know, maybe trying to pick up something, you know, this offseason that I can kind of work on, maybe fix, whether it's, you know, maybe my front shoulder right, or maybe how I throw to the left, or how I'm hitching in the pocket, or maybe how I'm moving even in the pocket. You know, maybe how I'm moving my defenders with my eyes or my front shoulder, or maybe a pump fake halfway through my drop, trying to pick up maybe one thing that I can add to my game that, you know, obviously takes my game from a good level to an elite level and stay there. So I'm excited for him. I think that, you know, I think that, you know, we kind of laugh about this between me and him, you know, is like, he's the most, you know, like if you hear the names, you hear the same, you know, what, five or six names, you know, every single day on ESPN or NFL Network. And you know, you haven't really heard his that much. And it kind of blows my mind, to tell you the truth, you know, because I know what plays well in the NFL, and he's got it all, you know. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, you see guys that are, you know, maybe a bit more faster or threw for more touchdowns in college because they were in a certain system that, you know, they were, you know, in 10 personnel or zero personnel, which is, you know, five receivers, and they're chucking around. They're in the red zone getting four chances. That's not the way they play. And he's never complained about that. It's just, that's what he signed up for. And again, he loved his experience at Iowa, and he loves his coaches, as he should. And, you know, he did what he had to do to make that team better. And that's why, obviously, what junior and what senior are both 10-win seasons and obviously dominated USC in the bowl game.
Awesome, Tony. Really appreciate the insight, everything that you gave to us today. Where can people find your work? Or kind of, I know you post a lot of videos of Nate on social media. So kind of drop your handle for Instagram and Twitter on here.
Okay. Well, listen, I appreciate you having me. And again, you know, I've been lucky doing this that I've had guys like Nate Stanley who were just great kids. You know, it's not like, you know, sometimes you do this stuff and you know, sometimes you're like, oh, I got to train this guy today, you know, just from an attitude standpoint or from a character standpoint. I mean, Nate's, you know, he's a check plus on you know, from a human being standpoint, from a character standpoint, from, you know, everything you want. I mean, you know, the first week he came out, he actually stayed with me and my wife, my whatever, how old she was at the time, 7 months old. And he was the best. I mean, he played my daughter. And again, you know, I don't bring many people in my house I don't trust with a newborn around. So that's the kind of kid he is my point. So you can find me at Tony Razz, TonyRazz03. That's my Twitter handle as well as my Instagram page. And again, love to post stuff. You know, what I like to do is I like to post offs of guys doing stuff, and I like to share, you know, what they're doing. And I've always said, if you follow me on social media, you know, if I was a sixth grade kid and wanted to learn how to play quarterback, you could follow my stuff and learn the game and learn the position.
Awesome. Thanks, Tony. Really appreciate it, man.
Of course. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Big thank you to Tony Rasiopi for joining Hawkeye Insider Sean Bach for this episode of the Swarmcast. Some really good stuff regarding Nate Stanley as the 2020 NFL draft approaches. We're also going to have another episode tomorrow on Saturday, April 11th, to really have an in-depth breakdown of Luka Garza's decision to declare for the 2020 NBA draft. All my full expanded thoughts after I gather some more intel from talking to some sources regarding his draft status and a lot more. So be on the lookout for that tomorrow. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Swarmcast. As always, you can follow me at David Eicholt, DavidEicholt on Twitter. Be sure to follow Sean Bach at SBach247. And as always, stay tuned to HawkeyeInsider.com for the latest Hawkeye news, analysis, and insight. Until then, we'll talk to you later.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.